This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Now it's time for our Wisdom Watch conversation. That's the part of the program where we hear from those who've made a difference through their work. Today we continue our coverage of the 20th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act with a conversation with a woman who is not only one of the country's most accomplished actors, but also happens to be deaf. Of course, we're talking about Marlee Matlin. She is the youngest woman ever to take home the Academy Award for Best Actress for the 1986 film Children of a Lesser God. And the decade since, she's become a regular on television. She's done everything from sashaying through a stint on Dancing with the Stars to starring roles on such programs as The West Wing, The L Word, Sesame Street, My Name is Earl, and even the Family Guy cartoon.
Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Last Mimti.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Last Mimti.
You have selected 300. If this is the movie you'd like to see, say yes now.
No.
You have confirmed 300.
She's even written a few books along the way. Her latest, an autobiography, is titled I'll Scream Later. Marlee Matlin joins us now. She's at member station KPCC in Pasadena. The voice you'll hear is that of her interpreter, Jack Jason. He's the one wearing the headphones, and he's signing my questions. And I welcome you both, and thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I didn't want your audience to think that I smoke 15 packs of cigarettes a day, and that's why I have a low voice.
Well, thank you. So, Marlee, I wanted to start by asking you where, you know, you heard me enumerate just the bare outlines of your career, and I can't even go through all of your credits because that would be the whole interview, okay?
Well, thank you. So, that's nice of you to say.
But I'd like to ask where the drive comes from.
You know what? It's all something that comes from what I was born with. I have to say that it comes from knowing what my parents taught me, is that you have to do what you have to do to get things done. My parents were the ones who gave me the independence, who gave me the spark to do anything that you set your mind to, as all parents should do for their kids. I also had friends, mentors, teachers, everyone, even my rabbi, encouraging me all along the way. People that I felt it was important for me to listen to after they passed along their messages, what would be best for me. And so that's all. I'm a combination of a lot of people inside of me.
You've lived about half of your life before the ADA went into effect and after, and half sort of after the ADA went into effect. And I wondered if it had any effect on you that you can see.
Well, and that's right. It really did change my life. I don't know how I was able to accomplish what I was able to do without the ADA. The fact that some people had to suffer for years without access to interpreters or access to ramps for people with mobility impairments, access for individuals who had visual impairments, or whatever it is that the ADA provides. I can't imagine if it were taken away from us, it would be just like wearing one shoe. You would be walking around life with one shoe if you took it away from us, which some have suggested.
Well, there are those who have, over the course of covering this story, we've had the opportunity to talk to a number of people who remember very distinctly getting the message about what they were not supposed to do and having to very consciously steel themselves against those messages. And from what I'm hearing from you, it doesn't sound like you had that experience, but you did grow up in
No, I did. Well, I did have those experiences. They were more on a personal level. For example, I was in high school when me and my best friend, like any other girl, were very much interested in becoming cheerleaders. And so we decided that we would try out for cheerleaders because they had tryouts after school. And we rehearsed. We really did rehearse. And when, you know, from the moment that they told us that we were going to be having auditions, a week later, we came back to show our stuff. And we knew every move. We knew every chant. You know, I mean, we knew when to smile when we were supposed to smile and to show our enthusiasm for the school. And after we did everything, I mean, I even did the splits, and I haven't done the splits up until that point, and I haven't done them since, but I did them at that very point. That's the drive that I had. I wanted to do it so badly. And the next thing we knew is after we were done, they said, right there on the spot, if you get it or not, they said, you know what? You guys can't hear. So we're just going to move on. Thank you very much. And that's something that stuck with me. I mean, it's so small, but it's an important part of understanding how much the ADA has probably changed lives, because that probably wouldn't happen today.
You know, acting is the business of no anyway. You get three no's for every yes that you get, if you're lucky, if you're having a good day.
And I go through that all the time.
Well, what I'm curious about is, though, I don't know if you mind the term trailblazer, but I think you are. I think most people would agree that you are a trailblazer. And when Judith Jamison has this phrase that you can't be what you can't see. I'm just wondering how you got the vision that you could do this.
I just did it. In all honesty, my mother was the one who felt that I needed something to do after school. So she found a productive outlet for me and for my energy. And there was, fortunately, near our house, a theater that was called the Center on Deafness. And we did plays, we did stories, we did songs, all in sign language. And we traveled all throughout Illinois and the Midwest. And what I think it did is it brought out for me this desire to act as a deaf girl who had something to express, just as any girl would want to express themselves. And I stuck with it, and it was what I knew, and it was something that I knew I wanted to do when I grew up. So when it came to actually becoming an actor, I just did it. I just did it.
You know, you've written about the fact that when you started to gain acclaim in Hollywood, that the deaf acting community there was not always giving you love either. In fact, that you've written that when you won the Oscar, you were actually snubbed in some quarters. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think it was because I was new and because I came from nowhere and it was a very small community. I was 19 years old and I spoke. I could be one of those deaf people who can sign and speak. A lot of people couldn't. So when I spoke at the Oscars, at the Academy Awards, there was a huge controversy. In the deaf community, there are different types of people who have different philosophies. Some believe that they should only sign. Some believe they should only speak. Some people say you should use cute speech. Some say you should use cochlear implants. Some say you shouldn't sign. Some say you should sign. Whatever the varying opinions were, I represented something different. And because no one knew me, they decided to make me their scapegoat or whatever it was to express their philosophy.
Do you still feel that your decisions are magnified in a way, or do you feel...
Always,
you can
always. As
a
public
a
figure, you'll always be analyzed. Everyone scrutinizes everyone. I was recently in Las Vegas doing signing my books, and I had people who stood in line for 2 or 3 hours to wait for my book to get signed, and there was another group of people just standing there behind the ropes, just standing for 2 or 3 hours, just staring at me, staring. I don't know if it's the cult of celebrity or whatever it is, or because I'm a famous deaf person. I don't know, but it is what it is. You know, what can you do?
Okay. Well, spoken like a person with good sense. If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Our guest for this Wisdom Watch conversation is the actor and activist Marlee Matlin. The voice you're hearing is her interpreter, Jack Jason, and we're talking about her life and her work, and we're also talking about how the Americans with Disabilities Act, it's 20 years old, has changed the lives of Americans living with disabilities. Can I ask, if you don't mind, you and Jack have been working together, as I understand it, for some 25 years?
Do 25 I have years.
25
yeah.
years. That's longer than some marriages.
Yes, longer than my own husband and I have been married.
I am curious how you maintain a working partnership like that. Can you explain it, how you maintain that kind of collaboration?
Jack sleeps between my husband and I in our bed. No, actually, I'm joking. Jack and I met when I moved to New York City after Children of a Lesser God. I guess it was deemed that I needed an interpreter. And when we met, we just happened to click. He would interpret at the time for like photo shoots or interviews. And when I moved to California from New York City, Jack decided to go back to California where he was originally from. And just as time went by, we formed a production company together, and Jack still runs that company today. I mean, he's a gem. And he's the brains of the outfit. And I know he loves saying these things about himself. So in any case,
would you ever get
he's a good interpreter. Uh-huh. He's a good interpreter, and he's a good friend. And he knows my sensibilities. He knows how I think. He knows all the sort of things that comes from working with somebody for a long time. We're a good match. I have to say, this is now Jack speaking, that it's an interesting experience having the opportunity to interpret for a woman for 25 years and saying things that sometimes women say that men would never say. And here's a good story that Marlee likes to tell, which is when Marlee was breastfeeding, she had to make an appearance at a Girl Scout function, and at one point she had to excuse herself because she had to pump her breasts. So she said to the young girls through me, "Excuse me, but I have to go pump my breasts now." And I said it, and the little girls looked at me and said, "Oh," and I said, no, not me, her. And then I thought to myself, I must be the only man in human history to ever utter the words, "Excuse me, I have to go pump my breasts now."
Good.
So that's
you.
The kind of stuff I get all the time.
You go, girl.
Okay, thanks.
Can I ask, though, do you ever get on each other's nerves?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My gosh. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. But we make up and it's all fine. It's all fine. Marley and I, and again, it's Jack speaking. Marley and I have all these little inside jokes, and we have to be very careful because we sign in front of people's faces, but we're talking about them behind their back. And we get busted because recently Marley made an appearance in New York City on behalf of a big 125th anniversary for Good Housekeeping. And Marley and I were signing and talking about all these people. You know, there's those so-and-so and so-and-so. And then a very well-known hairstylist by the name of Ken Paves came over. And Marley was like, "Oh, there's that famous guy, Ken Paves, who works with Jessica Simpson and Eva Longoria." And he started to sign fluently. Fluently. And we kept thinking,
oh, no, man, you are
had
so
he
busted.
Been watching everything we were saying? It's like an episode of Seinfeld, you know, which, of course, they did use in Seinfeld.
So you can never assume.
You have to be very careful.
I wanted to ask
because
Marley,
sign language is being more and more used by everyone. I mean, in schools,
sure.
They're teaching it in schools. You have to be really careful.
That's true. The children, very young children, to sign too as a way to kind of help them bridge the gap.
Absolutely, and it works. It works that you can teach a child to speak to you in sign language at 6 months before you can talk to them with the voice. I did three DVDs for Baby Einstein, teaching babies how to sign. It really helps a parent communicate because babies can't talk, but it has been proven that they can communicate using their hands to communicate. So sign language is a great tool in that way.
Well, I was going to ask about the Baby Einstein and Sesame Street and the L Word and Dancing with the Stars. What haven't you done? Is there something you have not done that you want to do? Play Muhammad Ali.
Lot.
I don't know. But
I would love to do a talk show. Naturally, I'd love to do more films. I'd love to be able to see casting directors more willing to put in a character who happens to be deaf. I'm not talking about doing deaf storylines, but putting in deaf characters. I'd love to be able to do Broadway. I'd love to find challenging roles like that. There's still a lot to do. I mean, you know what? Maybe I could work at a radio station. Who knows? The first deaf lady on the radio.
It would be hot. I would listen. I did want to ask, though, now that you're the first part of your career, you had to deal with the whole expectation of navigating being an actor and being deaf. Now you are both a mother, okay, and you are older in Hollywood land. In other professions, no, you'd just be hitting your stride. But in Hollywood, women particularly age out. And I am curious to ask of those identities, which is the most challenging professionally at this point?
As being a woman over 40, I think that Hollywood looks at me in a completely different way. They look at women that age as mothers. I've seen them grandmothers, teachers. It's really hard. And I guess being Hollywood, it's to be expected because what do we get out of Hollywood? The 20-year-olds we have today, some are extremely talented. Some are people who should be doing something else. But those are the people that if they stay in Hollywood, they'll eventually realize that they'll get to where I am today because I was there. I was there. So you deal with the fact that there are roles that they say you're too old or, you know, it's time for you to play grandmother. But you just have to bust your ass and get your work, get yourself out there and say, "Hey, look at me. I'm looking great. I have an Oscar. I can give you a great show. Whatever it is you need, I can do it."
Can I ask you, though?
I'm working on my hot body at the same
yes,
time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, you are. I know. I'm sorry. We saw you in the L Word. We know what's up. But do you mind if I
Marley just gave you two snaps.
That's right. I don't know. This is the kind of question you ask, and you say to yourself, would you be asking this of a man? And I don't know that I would. But I know that a lot of people would like to know how you balance being a wife and mom with four kids and doing the Hollywood thing and all the other stuff that you do. And we haven't even talked about all the activism that you do, weigh in on issues. I would, you know, if you don't find the question patronizing, I would be interested to know.
Well, you know, my kids are saints, as well as my husband. They are fully aware and were born to be open and understanding, and that mom sometimes has to go away and mom has to come back. And I communicate with my kids every time I know I have to leave, and I'll give them advance warning of, you know, 3 or 4 days. And I, for example, I just told my son, I have to go to Washington, D.C. What are you going for? And I said, well, I'm meeting the president, President Obama. And he said, oh, do you think you could get his autograph for me? And I said, well, I don't know if I could do that, but I can try. And he said, well, without even thinking, he said, well, if you can't, could you get me a bobblehead instead? So I got him a bobblehead, and clearly I didn't get the president's autograph. But getting back to my point, I am fortunate that everyone in my family, including my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, everybody is very supportive. And as Hillary Clinton says, it takes a village. And in my case, I have a very big village.
Well, you've been very generous with your time, and we appreciate it. Before we let you go, we always like to end these conversations by asking if you have some wisdom to share.
My motto has been, when kids come up to me and say, I want to be an actor just like you, I say, well, first of all, please finish school. Or if you really want to be an actor, then look for opportunities in your school or in your community. But I always sign in my books that courage plus dreams equals success. And I think it's an equation that should be taught in every single institution of learning.
Marley Matlin is an actor, activist, and writer. She joined us from member station KPCC in Pasadena. And once again, the voice that you heard was her longtime interpreter, Jack Jason. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.